Good morning, everybody on Zoom, and welcome to our service of morning prayer. It's great to be with you again this morning. My name's Justin, just in case you haven't met me. I've been doing a placement with the X Valley Mission community. This is the second half of that, and it's great to be with you all, St. Peter's, St. Thomas, St. Andrew's, and all across the X Valley Mission community. And of course, with Steph and Robert this morning. We have a few notices this morning and a bit of an announcement. So I'm going to hand over to Robert and Steph. Over to you.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to have you all with us this morning. I'm sorry that some of you have had some difficulty getting through. Just a reminder that we are meeting for daily prayer, as we have been for the last 3 weeks, if you care to join us. And the coffee morning and the Bible study will continue on Wednesdays, we are in the process of working out what we can and can't do over the Christmas period and the run-up to Christmas. But I have an announcement to make. I am pleased to announce that the Bishop of Exeter has confirmed the appointment of Mrs. Claire Curtis to be a self-supporting training curate in the benefice of Washfield, Studley, Withley, Calverley, Oakford, Templeton, Loxbier, Rackenford and Crewes Mortchard, with me as her training incumbent. Claire will take up her new post following her ordination as deacon at Exeter Cathedral in September 2021. I have a message from Claire for us. She says, "I feel completely honoured to be able to serve in the heart of this rural setting where I live. I am really looking forward to joining in with the X Valley Mission community." And we're jolly pleased to be having her joining us as well. So can we just start by praying for Claire? Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to have Claire come and work with us and train with us. And we ask that you would bless her as she finishes off her studies, and that you would bless us as she comes to train and to learn with us. We thank you for this opportunity, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, shall we begin our service with a moment of silence and remembering God's presence with us and this morning, and that he will speak to us today, besides all technical difficulties that we may have had. Let's just take a moment of silence. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth
shall proclaim your praise.
Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God
forever.
We now come to our time of penitence, where we take a moment to reflect on our lives and our relationships, our relationship with God this week. Come, let us return to the Lord and say, Lord, our God, in our sin we have avoided
your call.
Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away
early.
Have mercy on us. Deliver us from judgment. Bind up our wounds
and revive us.
In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our appointed psalm this morning is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that fills it, the compass of the world and all who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and set it firm upon the rivers of the deep. He shall ascend the hill of the Lord, or who can rise up in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to an idol, nor sworn an oath to a lie. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a just reward from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name, or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now have a canticle, a song of God from Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. And the refrain is, God will feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms. Let us all begin with the refrain. God will feed his flock like a shepherd, and gather the lambs in his arms. Go up to a high mountain, herald of good tidings to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength, herald of good tidings to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. God will feed his flock like a shepherd, and gather the lambs in his arms. He will gather them in his breast, and gently lead those that are with young. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. God will feed his flock like a shepherd, and gather the lambs in his arms. Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. Mark 13, chapter 24 to 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, between May and June 1940, Britain teetered on the edge. Allied forces battled Hitler's Germany on the Western Front, and democracies fell one after another to the Nazi regime. Winston Churchill became Britain's prime minister, facing arguably the most critical decision in history: to be drawn further into the darkness of war or retreat from the battle effort altogether, with perhaps unimaginable consequences. France watched and waited. Belgium watched and waited. Italy, the United States watched and waited. The British Parliament watched and waited. And against a backdrop of immense political pressure, with a divided and uncertain government, Churchill took the difficult decision to go to war. And these crucial events were depicted in the award-winning film in 2017, called The Darkest Hour. Our nation, the world, changed forever. At a time of crisis, realities that we once previously paid little attention to become front and center of our lives. The sudden loss of employment, how will I support my family? The diagnosis of a serious illness, will we get through this? A breakdown in trust of a relationship, causing us to question everything we once thought true about someone. Or an invisible virus that impacts the life, liberty and livelihoods we once enjoyed. 2020, the coronavirus pandemic, the unjust killing of a black man in police custody, undealt with chemicals causing a deadly explosion in Beirut, a refugee crisis, riots, protests, and will they ever stop talking about Brexit? It's the question, what is going on in our world today? What's happening? A question about vulnerability, uncertainty, and loss. We pick up a newspaper, we tune in on the radio, we turn on the news or scroll down our phone, and it seems to be doom and gloom, anxiety creating dread. And with all this going on, it can be easy to sleepwalk into Advent, distracted and downcast. Observing a world longing for an end to this, grasping for hope in a vaccine, hoping for something new to break in and spring forth. In such events, the cry of the church, the Advent chant, rise up in all of us. O come, Emmanuel. Advent is traditionally a time to start preparing to meet God. We watch and wait, expectantly journeying through the season toward the celebration of the birth of the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. But Advent, that also marks the beginning of the church calendar, starts with a story not about a beginning, but an ending that makes space for a new beginning, a new creation, a new heaven and earth, a place where from complete darkness, a new light shines, not from the sun, the moon and the stars, but from the Son of Man, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself, who will return coming in clouds with great power and glory. Verse 26 from our gospel reading today. And a prayer in our Advent liturgy daily reminds us, may the Lord, when he comes, find us watching and waiting. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of impending dark days when people would be close to losing hope, but urges them, watch, stay awake, and be alert to signs that offer hope of his coming deliverance, which will most certainly arrive. Jesus' disciples have just left the temple, an institution that was the center of Jewish identity, had given meaning and direction to their way of life, but whose structures had become corrupt with the occupying Roman governance, transforming the external landscape so forcibly. Life as they knew it had changed so radically. Where was the promised Messiah, the one whom the prophets foretold? When would he come? Surely God must act. The Jewish nation lived in a state of watchfulness. They did not know the day or hour. We know what it's like to enter the darkness of change. Advent is a season of change. All change, whether welcome or unwanted, brings some kind of loss. It may be the loss of a relationship or a loved one, the loss of what is comfortable, familiar, safe. Regardless, the world as we have previously known is different. In our reading, Jesus begins to tell his followers that the story of their life and identity was changing with his coming. They would need to let go of their old perspective, views of life, of the temple, the law, the world, even of God, for the Son of God was in their midst, of whom the prophet spoke, to initiate God's kingdom, fulfill the law, and to save. A new dawn had begun. And they suspect, of course, Jesus is he, the promised Messiah, but with this vivid apocalyptic imagery Jesus is describing throughout Mark 13 about present and future events, they may ask, who is the Son of Man Jesus speaks of? Verse 26. In Mark 13, things are bad and they will get worse. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple, wars, famine, earthquakes, persecutions, warnings of false prophets and false saviors who would lead them astray. but they're called to keep alert, stay awake and be watchful, and to hold on, because God will intervene to turn the world right side up. Amidst the fear of a global pandemic, the smoke of conflict, the fog of political division, economic uncertainty, and the confusion and contradiction of so-called experts claiming authority, which way should we look? Which way should we turn? In what basket do we place all our eggs? As Christians, as Christ Church, we need not be surprised, confused by the sometimes chaotic seasons around us. For as he told the disciples, Jesus forewarns us in his word that such things will happen. But Jesus affirms God's new time is coming and that he will return. And the early Christians knew this and shared the greeting Maranatha, which means our Lord is coming, reminding of Jesus's promise that he will return to save his people, a greeting that gave hope and strength to endure amidst the great persecutions they faced. And may this Advent we remind each other and share that same hope and strength of Jesus's return. When will that be? Well, Jesus says, verse 32, it's not for us to know, but in the meantime charges us to be watchful, verse 34, to be alert, verse 33, and to keep awake, verses 35 and 37. As Advent people, what does Jesus mean to be in a state of watchful preparedness? To look at the world and be alert to signs of the kingdom, to stay awake, to hope. And I've just 3 points for us to just quickly look at. The first is this: will the Lord, when he comes, find us watching and waiting? Now, the watchfulness Jesus describes is not as passive spectators. No, he is calling us to an active, attentive, responsive seeing, a way that observes the world hopefully and eagerly for signs of God's kingdom. This kind of seeing that looks beyond and past pretense, falsity and myth, so often on which societies are built. Instead, a watching that takes us to look through Jesus's eyes, to see with clarity and objectivity as God sees people and the world, that sees injustice and responds with godly action. A watchfulness that sees the pandemic and doesn't look back at what we did before, clinging to the old and waits for a return to what was known, familiar, or even normal, whatever that is or was, but looks outward to neighbour, upward to God, and forward with hope. Christmas 2006, I spent much of my time watching and waiting on a sentry post alongside fellow Marines guarding an outpost in Afghanistan. Not passively spectating, but an active watching, anticipating, responsive observing, looking for movement, change, activity. And you know, we don't do it alone. We don't do this watching alone. It is as Christ's church we keep watch toward Christ, each other, and into the world. Like gatekeepers or Marines sharing guard duty, we share the Advent vigil together. May the Lord, when he comes, find us watching and waiting. My second point is, will the Lord, when he comes, find us alert? Be alert, Jesus says. He commands us to keep focused, to stay alert, to be on our guard, for we do not know when the time will come. Like a soldier on sentry duty, alert on behalf of his colleagues, alert to what is outside. When Christ returns and sees his church, will he find us alert? Will he find real, living, breathing, active faith amongst his people, or just signs of faith? Will he see beautiful church buildings adorned in signs and symbols of the real thing, but so often caught amidst busy programs and events that satisfy the calendar and the countdown to Christmas celebration, but is unalert to the real needs and empty cups of so many people desperately needing to be filled with that which Christ's first coming was all about? Yeah, many of us here enjoy a good coffee, And many of us need a good coffee to get us going in the morning. I certainly do. And I know my wife definitely does. Coffee contains caffeine, which is a stimulant. It not only wakes us up, but keeps us alert. And what we also need is a daily dose of spiritual caffeine to keep us alert and faithful as we follow Christ and await his return. Fervent prayers, feeding on the word, coming together to encourage and build each other up in our faith. You know, decaf coffee is when they take away most of the caffeine, if not all of it. And we see a decaffeinated Christmas all around us. Christ's coming is watered down in the background or removed altogether. And the danger of a decaffeinated Advent too is it skips past the watchfulness, preparedness, alertful, joyful expectancy of the return of Christ and right into the busy, excessive rhythms of culture and sleepwalks right into Christmas, unalert and unresponsive. Can we be alert this Advent to the brokenness, the loneliness, grief and hardship of the closed doors and windows in our communities and those who hide behind them? Alert to the dark places without hope, without something to hold on that is concrete and sure. And can this Advent be a caffeinated wake-up call to us to be alert to our own spiritual health and to the needs of others, where we can fill those empty cups with the love and hope of Jesus, the warmth of community, and the sweetness of generosity? May the Lord, when he comes, find us alert. And finally, will the Lord, when he comes, find us awake? As Jesus called his disciples to stay awake when he went away to prepare and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, we are called to stay awake in our faith. To the Son of Man who would be rejected, put to death on the cross, and on the third day rise again for our salvation. To stay awake and fix our eyes on the Saviour of the world, in whom our hope and that of humanity is found, who is faithful and keeps his promises, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and whose word is a light for our path and a lantern for our feet. To be awake and to live as if his return is imminent, and to pray fervently, come, Lord Jesus. Not an awake that every December scurries around like a mouse in a wheel, joining the over-caffeinated, stressed-out culture of busyness, physically awake but spiritually sleepwalking. But to be awake to God's activity in the world, with a desire to urgently share the good news and hope of the gospel that Christ may indeed return tomorrow. In Advent, awake to that which truly matters, to encounter the presence of God in our waking hours, a way that might actually be restful and give us peace. Do the events of this year and perhaps a simpler Christmas give us the opportunity to recalibrate and check out our own spiritual awakeness? May the Lord, when he comes, find us awake. As we move through Advent toward Christmas and the church retells the story of the Christ child once more, may the call of Jesus to his people to watch, keep alert, and keep awake reign in our hearts. And as those who live in the challenging time of the now and not yet, a kingdom that has begun yet is still to be fulfilled, by keeping watchful, alert, and awake in this in-between time, we are preparing to not only live in God's eternal kingdom, but also to experience some of that kingdom life today. And moreover, to shine Christ's light for others to come see and be awakened as they meet Jesus today. Let us pray. Guide us, thou, O great Redeemer, on our earthly pilgrimage, that we may remain watchful, alert, and awake to your promises and your call, and remain steadfast in hope, faith, and love. that many more would come to accept your invitation to the eternal banquet. O come, Emmanuel. For Jesus' sake, amen. And now I'll hand over to Robert and Steph, who's going to lead us in song.
Our song is Christ Be Our Light. If you've got the words, please join in. If you haven't got the whole of the words, you'll find the words of the refrain are there on your order of service just before we go to our intercessions. Christ Be Our Light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Shine in your church gathered today. We're going to sing the first two verses and the last verse.
Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your only people. Light for the world to see. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Gather today. Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Gather today. Many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants to one another, making your kingdom come. Christ, be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light. Shine in your church. Today.
Thank you, Steph and Robert, for leading us so beautifully in song. We're now going to turn to our prayers of intercession. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we praise you for the many blessings you pour out on your creation. We pray that all who seek you may find you and be filled with your Holy Spirit, becoming a living temple acceptable to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We seek your blessing, O Lord, on the world, our nation, and all in positions of authority, on our homes and communities, on the lonely, the fearful, and the isolated, on our neighbours, our family, and our friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we pray for the sick and the suffering. Especially we pray today for Pam, for Jacques, for Trish, Jen, for Catherine, for Derek, for Brian, for Lorraine, for Richard, for David, for Peter, for Christine, for Ben, for Jennifer, for Jean, for Rosemary, and for Nigel. And we remember those known to you alone, who we lift up now in a moment of silence. We pray for them and all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the lives of the recently departed and all those we remember with love and thanksgiving. Especially we remember this morning, Jane Kingdom, Hilda Wedlake, Caroline Dudley Williams, and Joe Hill. May they rest in peace, and may your peace rest upon all who grieve, that they may know the hope, comfort, and love of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you have called us into the body of Christ together here today. And we praise you for all your good gifts to us. Help us to go out into the world, refreshed by your Spirit, and in the power of your love, to live for you through Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our collect this morning, which we now pray, I invite you to join with me at home. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. Now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy, and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you, us, and remain with us and those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. May the Lord, when he comes, find us watching and waiting. Amen. Thank you. It's been a joy praying with you this morning and enjoying morning prayer in the service of worship. I hope you all have a most wonderful day. God bless you all. Go well. Go in peace. Thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you very much, Justin. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.